Welcome, everyone, in Jesus' name, and on behalf of Pastor Roy Grant, welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad that Jesus is here and that we can feel his presence. He has paid the price so that we can do that, and I'm grateful for that. If you're a guest of ours, welcome. We want to remind you that we do have what we call our connection card. Hopefully you receive that. If not, you can get that from one of the ushers, and we just encourage you to fill that out, a couple of points of information, and turn that in at the kiosk. We have a small gift for you. We just want to let you know that we appreciate your being with us. And if you're online and you're a guest of ours, you can do the same. Fill out a connection card there online. So please consider that. If you're a guest of ours, welcome. we're glad that you're here. Also, we have some giving options. You can give if you're here in person in the offering box in the kiosk or in the vestibule. You can go to our website, or you can give through our new church app called Church Center. Or, of course, you can always mail it to our street address. We're grateful for any giving that you are able to do. We have a few things to announce. This Friday and Saturday is a special ladies' weekend. It's called Work Womanship, and you'll have the opportunity to spend time at the Deerfield Coffee House. It'll be sometime here. There'll be sometime there. You can get all those details from Sister Brittany Waters, who is sitting over there with her brother Jamin Powell. There you go. So please consider that, look into that. And coming up on December 19th, we'll have a special Christmas service on Sunday morning. It'll be one service. Everyone said one service. At 10 o'clock. Everyone said 10 o'clock. Amen. One service, Christmas celebration, Christmas program. Family Ministries is putting this together and preparing it, and we're looking forward to it. Hopefully you will bring a guest, and you'll be able to make it yourself. And that same day, we'll be taking up our Christmas for Christ offering as well. If you notice the table in the vestibule with the colorful envelopes on it, that gives you the opportunity to kind of pledge to yourself how much you want to give. Choose that amount from the envelopes. You can add up, you know, if $5,000 isn't enough, there's a couple of $2,500 there. You can grab those, or if it's $50 or $25, whatever. But then give that amount in the envelope, put it in the kiosk from now till December 19th. And, of course, the 19th is the official offering day. So if you want to prepare, some families get together, pray, spend time in prayer, make a commitment among themselves, and make whatever sacrifices they have committed to, and then on December 19th, you can bring that special offering to Christmas for Christ. Christmas for Christ is North American Mission's annual offering, and the funds go to help start churches all around North America. This year's theme is The Next Town, and we're supporting North American Missions and planting churches all around North America. God bless you. Let's stand. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. We want to remember the Anderson family, and Sister Karen Maurer is here today. Pray with her if you're near the loss of Sister Marcia Anderson, our dear sister. Let's pray for all of our loved ones that may yet be traveling on this holiday weekend. And let's pray for this service and for the man of God who's going to preach, and that we will be open to the word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We know, oh God, we have more to be thankful for than we can even count. But today we come to you thankful for your presence, thankful for the family of God. Thank you for your spirit. We pray, God, for the Anderson family and for Sister Karen, that the blessing of God will come in a time of struggle and time of a loss. There's no answer, oh God, sometimes to the things we go through except your presence and your help and your blessing. So God, I pray, pour out your spirit upon this family and upon those of all of us, oh God, who have this loss of our dear sister. We pray, oh God, for your blessing this morning and this service, that each of us, oh God, will be open to the ministry of your spirit, that your word will find open and ready ground in our hearts to receive your word, so that you can minister to us and teach us and lead us by your spirit. We pray, oh God, for our loved ones that are traveling today to and from all around the state and the country, Lord, that you keep your hand upon them. And we ask, oh God, that in this holiday season, each of us will be a light and a blessing to one another, so that your kingdom will be increased and your name will be glorified. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am making, oh, I will sing of the goodness. Darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Hallelujah. belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Again, church, he deserves our praise, he deserves our glory, We were here last Saturday evening, and they had a Hmong service last Saturday afternoon. And hallelujah is the same in every language. So you could be seated for a few moments here. We will be starting up coming this Wednesday. We will be starting our before service prayer time. And we'll also be doing that Sunday mornings. So on Wednesday evening at 6:15 here in the sanctuary, we'll be starting our pre-service prayer back. And then on Sunday mornings here at 9:15 in the sanctuary, we'll be starting that. So just to let you know, and I'm excited about that. And then also we had here on Thursday, we had a big Thanksgiving dinner. And Jerry Simmons and Lindsay and his family were kind of overseeing all of this. And there were so many of you that helped out with that. And I would just like to say a big, huge thank you to all the families. And so many of you were here. You spent late Wednesday and Sister Kayla Powell with cooking and the Stones and Myers, Ward Meyer and his wife. And Nathan Rossing was up most of the night cooking. And I just want to thank all of them so very much, and all of you that helped serve that I didn't get to see you while we were here. But anyway, God bless you. It's such an honor to, I usually don't introduce our speakers, but Phil Demas, it's such an honor to have Brother Phil Demas. He's our admin pastor, and he's going to be preaching for us this morning. God bless you, Brother Phil.
Amen. You would stand with me. I'm going to switch out this spit shield real quick. I guess the pastor was coughing quite a bit, he said. Microphone sweater. Sound man's greatest friend. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Joshua. Got your Bibles with you. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen as well. Joshua chapter 24. Amen. Appreciate my wife. Amen. And my two boys, I'm thankful for them. Amen. They're awesome. Joshua chapter 24, starting at verse 14, says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. I want to speak on the topic this morning, the power of one choice. The power of one choice. Let's put our Bibles down and let's just ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you, God, so much for the presence that you felt. We felt in this place, Lord. We're thankful for your voice in our lives, your word, God, that challenges us, Lord Jesus, that stirs us, that God, Lord, gets in our midst, Lord God, into our lives, Lord God, and just, Lord Jesus, just God, helps us to grow, Lord God. I pray, anoint our hearts to hear, Lord Jesus, your word this morning, God, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Have a special text I wanted to read from this morning. And very, you know, age-old text, and one that scholars look to, especially if they're like 6 years old. And that is, what should Danny do? What should Danny do? And this one is on vacation. And so I want to read a little bit about from this text this morning. Amen. Woohoo! We're going to Paradise Springs Resort. They have an awesome water park, an arcade, and a kids' club. And the coolest part is that my best friend, Jakey, will be there. As soon as Daddy finished loading the car, we hit the road. Yeah? Teachers, come on now. Yeah? Good? Did I do it? All right. A few minutes after we leave, I take out a robo-converter. It's a toy. Oh, man, I forgot to bring a toy for the ride, Charlie pouts. "Can we take turns sharing the one you brought?" What should Danny do? And I want to hear from you. So first option Should you say no to Charlie? Or second, tell Charlie that you'll give it to him when he's done playing. How many choose say no to Charlie? All right. There's a few of us. Y'all are like, I shouldn't raise my hand. That's the right choice. Come on. How many of you say, tell Charlie that he'll give it to him when he's done playing? Wow, and some of you are just really undecided this morning. Well, you know, say no to Charlie. We're going to go to page 12, because that's what Josiah picked the first time I read this with him. No way, I said. You should have brought a toy for yourself. The ride takes forever. Charlie keeps kicking my foot and putting his arm on my chair. I keep shoving his arm off, but it isn't helping. After a while, I get bored and put the robo-converter away. Charlie's reading a joke book and cracking up. Can I read some jokes? I ask him. You didn't share with me, so why should I share with you, he says. And it goes on and on and on. How many remember the old choose-your-own-adventure books? Yeah, I'm dating myself a little bit. But this is the same thing. I would recommend this, parents. This is a great, great book. You can go all the negative. There's 9 endings to this story. Just really teaches the value of a choice, the power of one choice. He chose, no, I'm not going to share. And what happened? The ride was horrible. If he had shared, and the other one was, yeah, I'll share it when I'm done. And they swapped off, and they had the best ride ever. And, you know, brothers, yeah, we're the best. Power of one choice. The power of choice has been with humanity from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Going down to chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Skipping down to verse 15 of chapter 2, it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The ability to choose, it's one of the beautiful aspects given to humanity by God, our created. He's not a God that forces us to have a relationship with him or gives us no option but to do good. He's not one that forces us to make a particular decision. He allows us to choose. From the very beginning of humanity in the Garden of Eden, God communicates to Adam that he had a choice. Eat of all the trees in the garden except for one, and you'll live forever. Just don't eat from the one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve had a choice. Genesis 3:6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Yeah. They didn't make the choice that maybe we would have made. From that one decision, the one choice they made, they were sent from the Garden of Eden, sent out of paradise. They no longer would live forever. Childbirth would now be painful for Eve. Adam would have to toil in the earth to try and grow food to support their family instead of having it all at his fingertips. The power of one choice. Let's be real. This was a disaster of a choice. It was a major fail. God set them up. Talk about the perfect life, the perfect scenario. Yet they made a really, really poor choice. Typically, we're aware of those major choices that we make in life, and we recognize the power of those choices. Adam and Eve, that was a major choice. And we look at our common everyday life of an individual in the United States. We're typically aware of those major ones, and what we're going to do after high school. Some of you guys are graduating soon, and that's a big choice, and you're aware of it. They start pounding you early, early, early in public school, like you need to know exactly what you're doing. Ridiculous. But we're aware of those life choices that we have to make. We're aware of ones such as what career path we're going to take, who we're going to marry, what will our living arrangements be, will we buy a house, will we rent, will we choose to have a relationship with God? Most folks, if you're raised in a Judeo-Christian environment, have that choice looming out there. Will I choose this for my life? Some folks have no clue and have never faced that decision, never thought about it. But that is a large decision that we will make that we're of. But folks, if we were to break down and analyze the life of an individual, look into the smallest building blocks of life, we would see that there are choices that are made on the smallest level that we face each and every day, and each one of those choices has power. Some of the choices are subconscious ones. Others are decided by habit. Others are split-second decisions. Choices, choices, choices. From the time we decide to get up out of bed in the morning until the time we choose to go to bed at night. We face choices each and every day, all throughout the day. We choose what job we have. Well, I don't really have a choice. No, you do. Now, it might be a season, and I understand that, and let's not get into all the variables and the exceptions to the rule, because there are things that, while we're in college, it's a season. And there may not be things you can do because you have to devote yourself to college. But in a general sense, we choose everything that we do. And while you're in college, you choose whether you're going to pay attention to school or ignore it and just hang out with friends and flunk out. That is a choice, actually. We choose how we relate to people in the day. We choose how we relate to people in the day. Oh, well, let's hit it. We've been hitting it. Why not? We're in it. Omicron's coming, folks. It's coming from South Africa. You don't have a mask. We choose how we relate. Well, by God, we choose how we react, how we act. It's a choice. We choose how we relate to others, how we interact with others, how everything about our lives. We choose what we eat. We choose what hobbies we partake in. We choose how we spend our free time. Every single moment of every single day, there is a choice that is being made, no matter how small and microscopic it may seem. There is power in that choice. Besides those that are not of a developmental age in this house today and can't make choices every single, aka babies, every single one of you this morning have already made a decision about your engagement in this sermon. Some of you may have already tuned this out. You're not super interested in God, but come to see your friends or your parents make you. Been there as a teenager? Yeah. Or as an adult, I gotta go. Wife wants me to go. Fine, I'll go. Some of you may have heard the opening scripture and have assumed the direction of this message because you've been here a while. Oh, that scripture. I know where he's going. Psh, I can tune him out. Let's just start checking the status of Omicron. Where is it now? Some of you have been like, this guy just read from a children's book. What kind of pastor reads from a kid's book? What a weirdo. Come to my house someday, and in the basement there's a Lego room, and you'll realize how much of a weirdo I am. Others are so distracted by the new Christmas decor, and you're sitting there wondering, how did they get way up there to hang that fabric? And now some of you are going to face the choice of, I didn't notice that, but now that he says something, I wonder how that, and you're going to have to choose whether you get distracted by it, it's a test, or engage in the sermon. Some of you may be contemplating whether to text me or not. You're thinking, I wonder if Pastor Phil will call me out if I send him a GIF that coincides with what he just said. Last time I did, when he preached, he didn't call me out. It's a choice you make. Nope, just family. Not my wife. Yeah, Pastor Peter, yeah, I'm not touching my phone. Not that you would ever text me. No, while I'm preaching. Some have already decided not to engage, while others may have made the choice already to engage. You were intrigued by the children's book. Where is he going with that? He speaks my language. He's weird, this guy. I'm going to listen to him. Perhaps your parent pays you $5 to take good notes of each sermon and preach it back to them. So you're just engaged because you're wanting to make some money today. Good idea, actually, parents. I'm considering that in the future. You know, why not? You know, instead of an allowance, hey, come learn the word of God, because they'll get it by osmosis and studying it and preaching it, and yeah. Or maybe in your experience over time, you are one who has made it your habit to always look for some nugget when the word of God is being preached. So you're engaged right now, as usual. This is what you do. I want to know what the word of God says. I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to listen. We've all made a choice to engage or not this morning, and there is power in that one choice. That choice whether to engage in this sermon today or disengage can change the trajectory of your life. Are you saying your sermon is the best sermon of all time? Absolutely. No, I'm not saying that. However, God put this thought in my heart, and so I do believe there is someone here today whose life will be changed, and a major decision of life will be made when they choose to begin a relationship with Jesus. I believe that someone here is going to make that choice. However, the trajectory of your life is in these small choices. You may disengage this morning and it result in nothing, except that this Wednesday when you come to church, or next Sunday's service, you face the same choice. And having not seen any repercussions of this week's disengagement, you subconsciously make the choice again. Soon you choose to disengage from Wednesday nights altogether, coming up with various reasons why you can't attend. The path has started toward disengagement from the church family, and eventually you decide that church justice isn't for you. I preached a message, I think it was last fall, about convenience. And I was real with you that it was not convenient Wednesday nights to bring kids to church. And how hard it was for me to re-engage into Wednesday nights after we were shut down for a while and then we're online only. And then we started back up, and how it was nice being home on Wednesdays with two small children. And so those choices, though, and I found myself just like very easily saying, yeah, you know what, a little sniffle. I'm going to keep them home. Yeah, we just got to be safe. Okay, there are some symptoms we need to be aware of and stay home. I get it. But again, the concept of one small choice, one Wednesday night, could lead to a trajectory of life. Or you may have decided to engage this morning. Surprisingly to you, you feel that you got challenged, and something in the sermon makes you think throughout the week about your life. So Wednesday or next Sunday, you decide to engage again, and God speaks into your life again, and then you want to know more about the Bible because you want to understand a particular topic. And so you connect with the family of God and in a Bible study or a group discussion, and before you know it, you've got a vibrant relationship with Jesus. He's working in your life and through your life, and you begin to tell others about him. You can't wait to get to church to get that next nugget of the truth, all because one Sunday morning you chose to simply engage. And maybe you didn't see any results necessarily, but something sparked within you. The power of one choice. It is so vital that we understand that point, that every choice has power, big or small. We live our lives to not make big, poor decisions oftentimes. I don't want to just utterly fail. But many small, poor decisions can undoubtedly lead us to the large mistakes in life. We want to make the best decisions in the big matters, but it's really many small, good decisions will undoubtedly lead us to the big wins in life. Church, God wants us to know how important it is to understand that, the power of one choice. The Lord brought a story from the Bible to my mind when I was preparing this, and kind of hammered home. King David, individual in the Old Testament, if you're not familiar with him, He's often spoken of in children's classes. David and Goliath, there was a huge enemy that was massively tall and threatened everybody. And King David, as a teenager, killed Goliath. He was anointed by God to be the next king of Israel, killed Goliath, became famous. Course of time, he ends up being king, and many victories for God in his life. Probably one of the people, you know, wrote much of the book of Psalms, and very real in the Bible. Psalms is so good to see the realness of the despair at times, the joy at times, and just a real person, and someone we just, wow, he was an amazing guy. But despite all that, he messed up royally. He made two horrible choices. After that happened, he turned to God, owned up to the mistakes, and asked God for forgiveness, and that's when the Bible describes him as a man after God's own heart, that he sought the Lord. So we're thankful for God's mercy, but side note, he made things right with the Lord, but didn't escape the consequences of his choices. His family was messed up after that day. His life trajectory was indeed changed, even though God's mercy was in his life. But what were those two choices? He committed adultery with another man's wife, and then the man was a soldier in King David's army, and to try and cover things up, David orders that that man be sent to the front lines where he was killed. Adultery and murder. What horrible, major life-altering choices. What a bonehead. You're king. You got it all. That's what the prophet... Go read the story. It's interesting. He didn't realize and put two and two together till the prophet, that dude's name, Nathan, came to him and basically said that, like, you have everything. But the one thing that you didn't have, you had to be like, I need that too. You are a bonehead. I can just see Nathan and, you know, prophet Nathan now. You're a bonehead. And then David's like, I wish it was written like, oh, God, I'm a bonehead. Forgive me. Anyways, sorry. Phew. But the end result may have been a result of those two choices, but there was another choice he made wherein all the power lay. Check it out. 2 Samuel 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, it happened in the spring of the year, at the times when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David remained at Jerusalem. Next scripture goes right into the act of adultery. Further on down, he brings all this stuff, and eventually in that chapter, he's killed. He has the other man murdered. In that time of history, kings went and fought with their armies. Yet David made the choice to send his armies out and stay at home. We focus on the adultery and murder as altering the trajectory of his life, and we would be correct on one hand. However, that trajectory started changing with the small choice, the inconspicuous choice, the what's the big deal type choice of staying at home. This wasn't the first time he had stayed at home. In chapter 10, one chapter earlier, and this reflects chronologically, 1 year earlier, he sent Joab with a group of men. They had a skirmish that they won, but then another king came, and a large army came out against Joab. So David brought the whole army, and they won the day. And so he had already started sending Joab on his own a year earlier. Two chapters before that, in chapter 8, the Bible describes all these victories that David had, and then says this interesting line. It says, he got a name for himself, something along those lines. We're not told, but did he start making small choices after that? I've done such great things. I deserve a break. We've got a great team. Joab's amazing commander of the army. Maybe Joab came to him and said, you know what, King David, like, we've got this. You don't need to go. You know, maybe there was an external influence, voice saying, hey, we got this. It's just relax. You deserve the break. Maybe David thought, man, we have awesome soldiers, so I'm going to sit the next one out. We don't know. Scripture doesn't say what the true progression, where that first choice is, but small choice led to another small choice, to another, to where he chose to stay home when everyone was out fighting, and he should have been as well. The power of one choice. You don't wake up and make life-altering decisions most times. Again, there's exceptions to every rule. But it starts with a small choice. I hope the wheels have started turning in your mind about your life and where it's at. It should give us pause when we realize it's the small choices that we make that will affect our relationship with God, our relationship with others. You know, it's just a post on Facebook, on social media, on Instagram. It's just a small, innocuous, inconspicuous choice. Yet the ramifications, you could destroy unity with a brother or sister. Because you have no clue what that triggers in them. Well, I shouldn't be, I can't. Yes, we can't. We have to own ourselves and they have to work on their end. But by God, if we can avoid offending, offenses will come, but if we can avoid offending people, that shouldn't be a scripture for us to be like, well, don't be offended. You know, offenses will come, so deal with it. I'm just the one that's coming with it. If we can avoid it, offending, we should. One small choice can affect our growth as a Christian, our trajectory in life, and yes, where we spend eternity. I would venture a guess that if we were to pull this auditorium today and ask the question, do you want to spend eternity in heaven? That 100% of you would say yes. But we must ask ourselves, do our choices reflect that goal? Today's choice. You're all in church, so hey, great first choice. But again, do you engage or not? It's another choice. Do you respond to the word? Another choice. Do you forget the word after today and tomorrow morning you wake up and go back to your normal life? Or do you consider and say, God, how does this affect me? There's choices all along the way. It's not just a response once, a 5-minute prayer at the altar up here at the front, and then you're done and your life changes. No, that's just one part of it, one minuscule thing. We think about Winter Youth Convention coming up. Praise God for that. We get so amped up, young people. Helped run the event for years and years and years. It's a phenomenal time. But you know what? The most important choice is not going to Winter Youth. It's when you come home. And so I would challenge you to make it up in your mind that for 1 month afterwards, consider, what am I going to do with what I'm going to hear? Make a plan now. Not January 1st when you come home and you're exhausted and you're like, Winter Youth. Make a plan now. What am I going to do with this? That's how we circumvent things that will try to distract us and take away things. We start making plans like, I'm going to do this. When I hear the word this morning, I'm going to take notes. Or I'm going to make a mental note. Or I'm going to, Sunday night, going to go re-listen to it because, hey, I want to make sure I got whatever the plans you make, we make those choices. I would say most everyone would want to live a blessed life. I would say that everyone wants good relationships with others. I would say that a whole lot of folks want a relationship with God this morning, but do our choices reflect that? Let me repeat a statement I've already made. It's so vital that we understand that every choice has power, big or small. The power of one choice. When we understand that there's power in one choice, if we want to make those correct choices, we have to understand that there are choice, what I'm calling choice influencers in our lives. This could be internal things like our personality, our temperament, how we work. It could be external factors like the environment we were raised in, a rich or poor home or social things or economic factors. How God created us or what environment we were born into can be a choice influence. Really, that's a nice way to put it. It's honestly the things that we make that we blame for our poor choices. I understand that certain situations in life can present a harder choice to make. Some folks coming to church is harder than others, but it's still a choice. You know, I was raised in the home of two missionaries in the country of Greece. Parents were missionaries, raised in a pastor's home in a different country. You may think, wow, that's amazing. What a privilege. privileged life. I wish I was in a missionary's home. You probably were on a spiritual level like no other. That's why you're a pastor today, because you had that influence. I could never be that. I could, you know, I grew up and my parents were scumbags and were mean and nasty to me, and you had everything. And, you know, great assumption. Great assumption, but not true. Not that my parents are bad. They're awesome people. Dad, just want to clarify that. But we moved to Germany when I was in sixth grade, and the 4.5 years I was there, 4.5 years, if I had to guess, I would say that I went to church maybe like 20 to 30 times. That's like 5 or 6 times a year. So to say, oh, you're just on a spiritual, you're thinking wrong country. That's the wrong country that I mean, people are like, oh, you're just a missionary kid. That's amazing. Did you see souls saved? I'm like, no, I went to school in Germany, rode the bus home and the train, the metro home, and I was in band and did the thing. And, oh, but the church there. No, we didn't have a church. Why? Because my dad was traveling to all these established churches, and when we got there, missionaries left and retired, and so he was managing all these different churches. And we, while we were there, they didn't start a church right where we were at. I never went to church. And the one time I did, it was German-Russian church, and it was in Russian. And I saw my dad kiss a Russian, because they take it literally when it says, greet your brother with a holy kiss. And it's like, you know, 13-year-old, you're like, what is my dad doing? And then you sit there, they're like, look at your brother, like, we are not talking to anyone. We are not greeting anyone. Plus, we don't speak the language. We knew a little German, but they're speaking Russian. Like, you think I got much out of church? Nope. So we assume, like, oh, there. It's so interesting how we always project our lack of choice making, good choice making, on someone else. Well, you have it better. That's why you can make that choice. No, we all can make a choice. Will it be harder than others? Absolutely. There are things that do present harder choices, but it's still a choice. And there are other areas in your life that are easy that for someone, they really struggle with to make the choice. But ultimately, we have to make the choice. Whether we're sanguine, melancholy, choleric, phlegmatic, whether we're rich or poor, educated, not educated, raised in a one-parent, a two-parent, or a no-parent home, no matter the color of our skin, no matter our language of origin, despite all internal and external factors, we all have to make a choice. We all have to make a choice. There is power in one choice. I've already alluded to it, but choices, and maybe I didn't, but choices can get easier to make over time. We're coming to close here soon. If you're engaging in a sermon for the first time today, you might be exhausted right now. This is a lot to take in. That's okay. Choose to engage next time, and the next time it'll get easier. And the next time it'll get easier. And the impact will be greater, and it'll be greater. And if you got a personal exterior choice influence in your life, face it head on. It'll be hard to deal with to begin with. That'll be that first choice to make. It will be so very hard, but it'll get easier, and it'll get easier. And you're assuming like, yeah, I've made this choice 100 times. Yeah, I still face it, but you know what? I'm going to make the choice again, and it'll become easier and easier and easier. Second, God is there to help us. I love this scripture, chapter 30, verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, God is going to lead us and guide us. If we trust in him and hear his voice, we'll hear him when we read the Bible, when the word is preached from this pulpit, when we pray, and all along the way. So plug into Jesus. He'll be with you and help you. My dad has a phrase when it comes to making choices, because sometimes things are obvious choices that we know we need counsel for, or we know that we need to pray about, but there are other choices that we don't think about. If we're in tune with the Spirit every single day, we'll have what my dad calls sanctified decision making. It's not an aha voice from heaven, I put a fleece out and God like, go there. That was really loud. Sorry. Sorry, Phil. Of course, God always has a deep voice, not, go there. It's much more impactful if it's deep. Anyways, but we'll just know. We won't hear that audible voice. We won't see an angel, but we'll know what choice to make. Again, Isaiah 30, 21, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. We're not alone if we let him. God will help us in every choice. Why? Because he knows. there is power in one choice. And if you would stand and with me as the musicians come. This ultimately is about a life prioritized around Jesus Christ. It's about having a relationship with Jesus so that each and every choice is made with heaven in our view and with his kingdom in mind. Our choices affect our relationship with Jesus. Our choices affect our relationship with others. Our choices affect our families. Our choices affect the trajectory of our lives. Perhaps this morning you're bound by addiction of some sort, or you're bound by your emotions and bound by fear. When you read that article, what was it, Friday, that came out about Omicron? My goodness, I started looking last night at all the headlines. And they're just fear-inducing. Worst variant ever. And I'm not disputing the science. I'm not disputing that it might be more transmissible and all that stuff. But what's the goal of that? To spark fear. And are you being ruled by fear? Perhaps you're bound by an addiction or emotion. And your choice today is to admit that to an elder, to someone who can help you so that you can start on a path of healing. You won't change if you don't make a choice. If there's an addiction there, admit it to God, but then talk to someone, say, you know what, I'm someone who can help, and I need help to walk this road with me. Perhaps you've made a series of small choices that have caused you to disengage from the family of God and from church, and your choice today is to make a step of re-engaging. Maybe you haven't prayed in a long time. Maybe you haven't come forward to the front in a long time. Perhaps that's your choice today. Perhaps you're living with sin, and the choice today is to come to the front and find a place of repentance, committing your life to Jesus, allowing him to direct your path. Perhaps you've repented but have never been baptized in Jesus' name, so your sins are all washed away. Well, that choice today, your choice might be baptism. Perhaps you're not living with the infilling of the God Spirit in your life as evidenced by the speaking in other tongues, and the choice today is to come and receive that gift from the Lord. He wants to live in your heart today. Whatever your choice may be today, it's time to make a choice. Why? Because there is power in one choice. We have a custom here at CGC where we give everyone the opportunity to come to the front at the end of the sermon and respond in your own way and pray. And so I would encourage everyone to come at this time. And as you do, I want to read our opening scripture again, Joshua 24:14-15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you, serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. Make a choice. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to admit our struggles to someone and find the healing that we need. As for me and my house, we're going to engage in the Word of God, engage in the message that I preach. As for me and my house, I'm going to take a step today. One small choice can change your life. Won't you come and make that choice? Let's begin to sing today.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. Away, and I simply come. You
again, church. Thank you so very much for the powerful word this morning, Brother Phil Demas. The power of one choice. One choice. Before we leave, we had a prayer request that came in. Brother Kevin Malling, many of you know him. And he's having surgery today. We just need to pray for a quick healing and a quick recovery. So if you wouldn't mind just taking a few minutes or a few moments, and let's just quick pray for our brother Kevin and remember him this week as well. Lord, we pray for our brother Kevin. Lord is having surgery today. I'm not for sure, Lord, what the surgery is, but you know, God. I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon our brother, that you bring a quick healing and a quick recovery in his life, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all so very much. You can continue to pray if you'd like to. Thank you to our worship team. All of you, good job this morning. Thank you so very much. God bless you. We will be back here Wednesday evening. And we have Spanish service be starting at 1 o'clock. And our French service, bilingual, will be starting at 5 o'clock. African International. God bless you.